This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's only 80-something this early in the day. I mean, you know, that means it just, you know, it's going to be a wonderful day.
You know, I remember not that long ago, you were talking about how, man, we're just going to get all this snow and this ice, and it's just going to be crazy. And and it was. And I remember saying it won't be too much longer before it's hot and it melts our face off, and it looks like we're here now.
That's right. So that's just the way it goes, you know. Summer in Texas. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it took a while to get here too. It was like a slow ramp up during the
spring.
Yeah,
because we were having so much rain. You remember all that rain we had day after day after day. We had what? 3 or 4 weeks of absolute rain.
Oh, I know it. It was a lot.
So, you know, you just don't know what to think.
Well, I don't
but know. We're not going to have any rain for a while. We're just going to have, you know, in the 90s every day. And what amazes me, it's like 87 before noon.
I know it. That's just, it's crazy. You know, I remember, and I don't check anymore, but I remember, you know, waking up, you know, in the middle of the night, and you check your phone because it's like, man, it just seems awfully hot. You know, you go outside to walk the dog, or you hear something outside. You go outside and it's like 2 a.m. and you go out there and you're just like sweating. It's just like, because it's 90 in it like midnight. It's really, I
but
mean,
you should not be walking the dog at 2 a.m. It's a little late. I mean, you know, my limit is 10 o'clock.
Oh, really?
They go out at 10 o'clock, have that last little excursion, and then they go to bed.
Excursion.
Yes, an excursion.
Boy, I wish every time I had to go outside, it was an excursion. It sounds like fun.
Yes, that's right.
But the llamas, they take care of themselves because they're already outside, so you don't have to worry about that, which is nice.
And the llamas, today is their day. They're getting sheared today, and they're going to be happy. And
really?
You know, it's going to be wonderful.
Well, they're going to love
They have been spending all their time in the pond because they're too hot. And they're wondering when we're coming to shear them. You know, they're going, man, we are hot.
Yeah. Well, weren't they, because there was a delay. Usually they're sheared before this, right?
Oh, but the rain delayed everything.
Yeah.
It was so muddy and so rainy, we had to delay it. We were going to do it the first of the month, and it was just too muddy, and so we just had to delay, and today's the day.
Did anybody explain to the llamas themselves what the delay was?
No, I don't think they understood that. They just went right on. But I'll tell you how hot it is. They always go to North 40 every day at a certain time in the morning. Then they go back in the afternoon. That's their favorite landscape up there. I don't know. There's something about the grass up there. And this week, they've been staying down here by the pond. They're not even going up to their favorite place.
Really?
So, you know, they're pretty warm.
Yeah.
They're needing a little bit of relief.
They're just hanging out in the water where it's a little bit cooler.
That's exactly right.
So you almost...
The water cools them down.
Yeah, it's almost like you have some kind of a weatherman right there in the llamas. They can tell you exactly if it's too hot or not.
Yes, I think they could. I can tell you it's really hot.
Of course, I guess we don't need llamas to tell us it's hot.
There you go.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
How are we on policies this week? I know it's about the midway of the year ish, a little bit past. But how are we doing on policies overall for the year? Are we in a good spot?
Well, we're still a little bit behind. You know, I thought we would catch up by now. We have not caught up. I thought we would the middle of the month here, but we're still not caught up. We're still in a bidding war. We bid two policies yesterday, two the day before. Bidding will be over Monday at noon, so we'll know if we got those or not. We did pick up two policies this week. We picked up $1 million policy and $500,000.
Really?
Those we won. But these others, we've got four others we don't know if we won or not yet.
Wow.
So we'll be getting contracts and getting these filled.
Man, it sounds like though that the policies that you're getting, not only bidding on but getting awarded, it sounds like these are top notch all the way.
They are. They're very good policies, and the premiums are almost nothing. I haven't bid anything this week that the premiums were high. Everything was like less than 1%, I think.
Even for the $1 million policy.
Yes, they were very, very light.
Wow. I don't know how often that happens, but it seems like when it does, it's almost like a magic combination.
Yes, it's very, very good. If you can get them with almost no premium, then it takes that risk of having to pay a premium way down.
How are when people like see the landscape of things of that are going on and the policy availability and stuff like that, do they know that it's just kind of as the whole thing I guess rolls out, it just kind of depends on what's available, what's out there, who's I guess selling their policies? Because I know for a while people just weren't selling them, and people were understanding of that, right? It's not that something should be happening, so make something happen. They know that this is how it works.
That's right. And now they are selling their policies. We are getting good policies in. And cancers that we're not even aware of, that maybe we've never bought or even bid on before. So we've got a couple of those we're bidding on. And as I told you, we got that policy. The lady that I said is so critically ill. It's a small policy. I think it's $400,000, but it's really one of the best policies I've seen in a long time.
It sounds like it's probably going to come in. This is the one that I can't remember the exact details, but I seem to remember this is the one that you were thinking it's going to come in very, very early.
I think it will. They're giving her like a year to live. And I'm telling you, I don't believe this lady will live a year. I just don't know how in the world she's going to make it. This is the one that had the lap band surgery that went horribly wrong.
Yes.
And like everybody said, if you read this, you would never have lap band surgery.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but the doctor messed it up so bad. And she's just been critically ill ever since. As I said the other day, they can't even put an IV in her arms. It's so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. She hadn't had a real meal in months and months. She can't eat. They're using a feeding tube. I mean, it's a bad situation. And
wow.
They gave her 12 months, and I said, this poor lady will never make it 12 months.
No, it sounds like it. And, and for you to go outside of, because I know how focused you are on stage 4 cancer policies, and to go outside of those, I know it doesn't happen very often, it seems like, but when it does, it's like you have found really I don't know how to phrase it, but you sometimes find these policies that are so unique and such unique situations, and you go through them with a fine-tooth comb. It's almost like you can tell the same outcome will happen from like a stage four policy. You start looking at all the details inside the LE do you get LEs with this, those, right?
Certainly. You've got to have that. You've got to know what the doctors did, what treatment she had, what medication she's on, everything. You've got to know all that.
So when you get rare policies like that, that are not stage four cancer, is there something about them that draws you in? Because I know for the most part you tell people, hey, we only want stage four policies, right?
That's right.
And so to bring in something like this, how do they say, well, we know that you only want, a certain type of policy. This is not it, but we think you should look at this anyway. How does that happen? Or is that like it?
Yes, lots of times the provider will say, Faye, I want you to look at this. It may not be what you want, but look at it. We think it's something you might really be interested in. So then when I read it, I said, yes, I am interested. I want to bid this.
Do you get many of the old school, and I know you don't do them anymore, but do you still get, policies coming across every once in a while that are for, like, just elderly people that aren't sick at all?
Every day of my life, they send this stuff, 89, 95 years old. Hey, would you like to bid this? It's short. I go, there's nothing short about an older person, let me tell you.
They try to trick you. You got to get up awfully early to fool Faye Bagby, I can tell you that.
That's right. I mean, if you think I'm not going to notice that. Woo! they're out of their mind.
How many of those elderly policies do you have? Is it like three left?
We've still got three of them.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's never going to happen again.
Not in my lifetime. I mean, I've already had a lifetime of that, So that was kind of, a good lesson.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so when you're looking at policies, what's one of the big things that you look at the most? I know stage four cancer, but, you get, I would imagine, tons of policies. Some of them are what you're looking for. Some of them are outside of that with, like the one lady that you bid on. And then there's the other ones that you're just not even going to even, waste your time even reading. So when you look at these, what's the thing? How do you, filter them out so you know which ones are
serious?
Okay,
the first thing, are they still doing chemo? Are they still doing radiation? If they're not, they're not sick. If it says there is no sign of cancer at this time, that is a no-go right there. We're going to pass on that. It depends what treatment they're in. And if it's just not sick enough, there's no use to do it.
Yeah.
So, it's got to be stage four, except that one cancer that only goes to stage three. But if it's not stage four, we don't know how long they're going to live. Mm. But we know if it's stage four, it's serious. The likelihood of them surviving this is not even hardly a twinkling in an eye, because they're so sick. So, we're looking at everything that's happened to them. We're looking at all the medication. And we go and when they send us all the meds, that means they send us every medication that the doctor has got them on. So we read all this to see what kind of cancer pills that they're taking. What are they giving them?
And the more medicine, the sicker they are, obviously.
That's right. And if they're not throwing up, they're probably not on chemo.
Yeah.
So if it says, they're taking things for nausea, they're on oxycodone.
Oh.
I mean, oh, yeah, if they're on that, the pain is really, really bad.
Oh, wow. So not only how much medicine, but which ones they're on.
It depends on which ones they're on. They have to be on all this cancer treatment. If they're not, I'm guaranteed, if they're at the golf course, they're not sick.
Yeah. Are life settlements really the biggest draw for people who are, who come over and they say, look, we haven't made any money in the stock market. We're looking for, something better, a better way to invest and things like that. Is that really the biggest draw, the life settlements for most people?
Yes, it is. It is a big draw. Now, a client who's fixing to do some annuities, he has a lot of life settlements, and he's fixing to do annuity. He asked me the other day, he said, why don't you talk more about annuities? I go, well, you know, we usually do this. He said, I wanted more information on annuities. He said, why don't you tell people about them? I go, well, we do a little bit.
Should we spend more time on annuities? Are they good for people and they may just not realize it?
They are good for people. A lot of people don't realize it. As long as you're doing either a fixed annuity or an index annuity, they're very, very, very safe. If you're doing a variable annuity, you're into mutual funds and you could lose money because they're in the stock market. An index annuity is never directly in the stock market. It just parallels it. It just goes right beside it. You know what I mean? So if the stock market makes a lot of money, the annuity will make money. If the stock market goes down, this doesn't go down. An annuity never goes down because you're not in the stock market. So that's what is so great about it. You can take lifetime income. You can take 10% a year. And these are walkaways. A lot of life insurance companies are not walkaways. Sometimes the annuity company says, oh, no, at the end of 10 years, you still have to take another 10-year payout. But with the ones that we do, at the end of the 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is, it's a walkaway. You can take every bit of your money and your profit and leave. And like if it's a husband and wife, if the husband passes away, the wife has still got the annuity and could take a lifetime income after he's dead.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of really good advantages to it. And annuities are back up. They're paying what they used to. For several years, annuities have not paid, you know, as good as other things. But they were solid. You could count on them. But now it looks like the interest on annuities is going to be way up. So that makes it even better.
Somewhere along the way, did annuities get some kind of a bad rep or something like that? Or did just people just not know much about them?
I think people just got where they didn't really understand them. And then they had the old annuities. Those annuities they bought 20 years ago, you know, they're not paying much. And I know a lot of our people have said, would you take me out of these old annuities and get me a new annuity? And that's what we've done.
What's the difference between the old and the new ones?
A lot. The old annuities were just a simple fixed annuity. They pay you 2-3%, and that was about all. Now, then there was a period when annuities went up, and several years ago, they were paying a lot of money. I remember we had some that actually paid, you know, 12-14% at one point.
Oh, wow.
That's back when interest rates were so high, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that in a long time. So annuities have been about 6%, 6 to 7%. But it looks like now they may pay up to 10 or 11%. I'll be interested to see because we've just got notice of the new rates. But a person can take 10% a year forever. And or so they can set it up on a monthly pay or an annual pay. With an income you can't outlive.
So those rates are locked in.
Uh-huh. And the other good thing about annuity, you don't pay any tax till you take it out.
Really?
It's all tax deferred for years. It's tax deferred until you start taking it out. So that makes it, the interest is higher that way if you're not paying tax on it, and it's growing faster that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they are very interesting. And the company that we use, that we like to use, they're 100 years old. Someone said the other day, Faye, tell people don't do an annuity unless the company is 100 years old. I said, okay, 100 years old or nothing. 100 years old. And they've got to be worth $50 billion.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, if they're not worth that, don't do business with them.
Oh, wow.
And then they're rating. Look at what they're rated at. They're rated by three big companies.
Okay.
And AM Best, this company is an A+.
Wow.
So if you've got an A+ company, you've got a great company, especially after 50 years.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So if an annuity is not in the stock market, this might be a a ridiculous question, but what is it? What?
Okay, it's safe inside the annuity, but it mirrors. In other words, let's say you want to be in the S&P, but you don't want to be direct in the S&P. This has an S&P in it, okay? It has the Dow in it. It has the NASDAQ in it. It has a Fidelity account, which we've never had. It has a Fidelity account. It has BlackRock. So if you say, okay, we'll put some in Fidelity, some in BlackRock, some in the S&P. And if each one of these make money, you get it. It locks it in every 12 months. Or if you put it in for 2 years, it'll lock it in at the end of 2 years. So if you have one bad year and one good year, you're still ahead.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it mirrors the stock market, but it's never in the stock market direct.
So if say on Monday, first thing in the morning, the stock market crashes, how does that affect an annuity? It doesn't?
Annuity just sits there. Didn't crash. It didn't make anything because of the crash, but it stayed level.
Okay, so at least people wouldn't lose anything.
You'll never lose a dime, no.
All right.
You don't take any of the losses of the stock market because you're not directly in it.
All right. Well, that's got to be a little bit of a level of protection, I would think, that
it's
makes
people.
It's
got a lot of protection because you're investing inside your annuity, never outside of it.
Interesting.
So as long as you're in that annuity, you're safe.
What's the return on an annuity compared to like a life settlement?
It won't be as much, but it's like for a lifetime. You know, you can use it for 10 years or 20 years, especially if you've retired and you say, okay, I need something that just gives me income.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the annuity comes in. You can take, I've got a lot of people that are taking income out of their annuities every month. I've got some that are taking like $500 a month, $1,000 a month. Some a lot more than that if they've got a big annuity.
And forgive me for asking this, but you know, would it almost make sense? Because I'm trying to compare the two, and we really haven't spent a whole lot of time on annuities before, and so this is really kind of interesting. Would it make sense if people had the ability to do it, to kind of set up some annuities as just kind of like a baseline and just kind of like let that roll for a number of years, and then kind of with life settlements, you know, do like the what many people do is invest in many, and then as some mature, they reinvest into other life settlements, and then as other matures, just kind of like leapfrog like that with the life settlement on top, and then the annuity, kind of like an underlying investment. Would that make reasonable sense, or is that just crazy?
Well, what I like to do, if a person says, I need a guaranteed income, then I'm going to do some annuities. If they say, I just need the investment, then I'm going to do life settlements. If a person says, I need both, then we would set it up that way. I have several people that have just retired, and what they did, they've got all their life settlements, you know, all that, but then they did a $500,000 annuity for income.
Interesting.
So for the next 10 or 20 years, they're going to be drawing out of their annuity, you know, $100,000, $50,000, whatever they select at the end of the first year.
So the annuity provides, for lack of a better term, usable cash through the investment while the life settlement sits underneath, and that's just growing money like a chia pet.
Yes, that is a lot slower, but steady, and it just gives you, you know, your interest all the time, over and over again. And the other will give you like your bread and butter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So people can get really diversified and do a number of different things, long term and short term, and satisfy all of their goals between the two.
That's exactly right.
Wow. I know we've talked about annuities as like I think we usually phrase it as like a quote, like a alternate or alternative to life settlements, but I didn't realize that they actually can take the forefront in a lot of people's investment strategy. Interesting.
Yes. So, and a lot of people do it differently. But it seems to me like the people that are getting ready to retire are the ones that are saying, here, you know. And we have, you know, a lot of different deals. We have people that say, okay, next year I'm going to start drawing on my annuity. Or, no, we're not going to draw on it for several years, but we want it there as a safety valve.
Wow.
So you can do it a lot of different ways.
Huh. This has just opened up a whole nother realm of possibilities for you know, growing wealth and making money that I don't think we've really focused on a whole lot.
I don't think we have. And as I said, a client brought it to my attention. Faye, you're not talking about annuities enough. And I go, oh, my gosh, okay. You know? So, you know, we wanted to talk about the safety of an annuity, you know, making sure you have a company that is A rated at least, or A plus. It's been in business 100 years, it said.
That's the most important part, 100 years.
100 years. If they haven't been in business 100 years, walk away. Don't do business with them.
Good
advice. I thought that was pretty cute. And make sure there was $50
billion. Yeah, 50 billion.
You know, 50 billion. And if they haven't been in business that long, you just can't do business with them.
just let it go. Walk
and
away.
Let it go. Yeah, if they've been in business 20 years, that's not long enough for annuity.
No. In 95? Nope, not going to work.
Nope. Yeah.
Is there anything about annuities that maybe we should throw in real quick before we start getting into life settlements more? Or
well,
have we kind of hit the highlights?
You know, there you can do 5, 7, you can do a 10-year. There are walk away, which is really important. There's bonuses. You can get bonuses, 5 to 8% bonuses with them.
Wait, what's bonuses?
Okay. Lots of times people say, well, I want a bonus for going in. Well, you can get a 5% bonus. Some of them offer an 8% bonus. And so then you get that up front, and they credit you that immediately.
Really?
Yes. So if you, let's say it's a 5% bonus, they'll credit you that when you put your money up. Let's say you put $100,000 in. They're going to add that 5% or $5,000 immediately.
Interesting.
So that makes the annuity already worth more, and you haven't even got started.
Well, geez, I didn't even know you could even do that.
Yes, you can. Huh. And there's just lots of things that annuity, you know, has that's really neat.
Do people, do many investors diversify between life settlements and annuities, or do most people like lean one way or the other?
Most people have got their money in life settlements, but every once in a while, about once a month or twice a month, we'll do a large annuity for someone.
Wow.
When they get ready to retire, they say, I want an annuity in addition to what I've got.
Well, you're right. That is something that we probably should focus on a little bit more. I didn't know.
So,
I didn't realize. Huh.
And if somebody has an old annuity that's paying 2%, it's time to roll that sucker over.
Get it over making some good money.
That's right. And the other thing is, if you have a 401k or an IRA, you can do an IRA in an annuity.
Really?
Yes, so you can have an IRA annuity, or you can have a joint annuity with your wife, or a single annuity. There's a lot of different ways you can do an annuity. You can have a Roth annuity. Almost anything you can do in another investment, you can do in an annuity.
Interesting. And you say rates are on their way up, right?
Yes.
Wow. All right.
And you can also do them for your grandchildren.
You can set them up for the grandkids, get them set for...
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yes.
Do many people do that?
I've got several people over the years that have done it. They wanted their grandchildren to have separate money out of their estate, and so they did that.
Does everybody know about this?
I don't know. I've got one family. They did an annuity this is years and years ago. They started out and did $10,000 for every grandchild.
Really?
Yes. And now another thing that a lot of people don't know, you can start taking money out of your annuity if you're going to school. So like these kids, when they got ready for college, they start drawing on these annuities for college.
So it sounds like an annuity might be a good foundation to get maybe some people, maybe for, and I want to say like beginners, but like, you know, for like kids, grandkids, college students, things like that, it might be a good starting
point. Yeah, you can do a lot of things with an annuity that a lot of people don't realize.
Wow. Interesting. All right. And is this like realistically, and I know we talked about it before, but without the whole background that you gave us today, is an annuity a good place for somebody who maybe is interested in life settlements long term, but maybe they're not accredited? Is annuity a good place to build
up? Now, if you're not accredited, annuity is the best way to go, because a lot of people call, they're not accredited, they cannot do a life settlement, but they can do an annuity. The rules are a little bit different on an annuity as they are the other.
Can anybody do an annuity, or are there requirements?
They're going to look at your debt and your income. If you have too much debt, they won't do it. If you have income that's positive, in other words, can you pay your bills every month? Do you have a set income? They'll do it. But if a person comes by and says, well, I want to do an annuity, they owe $100,000, their income is $3,000.
Oh.
They're not going to do that.
All right. So they just look at debt to income, and that's...
Your income, your debt, your assets, available? That's another thing. Are the assets available? Are they in stocks, bonds? Is it in the savings? You know, they're going to look at your assets.
Interesting. So it might be maybe an annuity might be something that more people could possibly get involved with. Is that a good way to phrase it?
Yeah, a lot of people can qualify for an annuity where they might not could the other.
Interesting. All right. Well, I think it's probably opened up a whole new door for a whole lot of people. I know it has for me anyway. I didn't realize that we've never really gone into that kind of a depth with annuities before. It's just really good information. I had no idea. It opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. We'll get into some of the details about life settlements in just a few minutes. But for now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get new to trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Salado, Texas, the most peaceful town in Texas.
Oh, sounds like paradise.
It is. Salado was kind of an accident. The post office there was established in 1852. They built a college right after there in 1860. Can you imagine a college? And it operated till 1913.
Really?
It's hard to believe. But the way this little town started is they needed a bridge over Salado Creek. And that's how the town was started. Is they had this little... creek, Salado Creek, which is still right there today, and they need the bridge across it. And that's how they incorporated it in 1867, just in order to build a bridge. Can you imagine?
So it was really just like a pass-through place. They needed a bridge and built a town around it.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And they incorporated it at that time, and they only had 900 people there. But listen to this. They had 7 churches, 14 stores, 2 hotels, 2 blacksmiths, and 3 cotton gins.
Really?
Yeah. And they said, oh, well, we've got to get this little bridge done. So once they did the bridge, then they incorporated the town of Salado.
How many saloons did they have?
I don't know about that. Doesn't mention that, but they did have them. This has always been a very small town. So after the railroads came in and they built railroads north and south of town, It came down to 400 people by 1914.
Really?
And then it went to 200 people by 1950.
Oh,
it was
Lord.
Small. And today there's over 2,000 people, of course, living there. But this is very historical there. They have 19 places that are listed on the National Registry of Historical Places.
Really?
19.
That's a ton. That's more than a lot of cities have.
That's right. They've got the George Washington Baines House, and it was the first place in Texas certified with the Texas National Landmark.
Really?
This is the first place we ever had a national landmark is in Salado, Texas.
It almost sounds like a lot of the original community buildings maybe are still there.
They are. A lot of really, really old buildings, I can tell you. I've been there many times. Now then, there's wagon wheel tracks from the Chisholm Trails can still be seen in the limestone creek bed.
Really?
Yes. And then across the road from that is the famous Table Rock, where everybody used to carve their names in the stone there.
Really? That's
and
cool.
That's pretty famous.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And the W.A. Pace Memorial Park, I mean, it just goes on and on. And the inn, you know, there's a little inn there. And it's very famous. Salado Inn.
Really?
And there's just history everywhere. It's just amazing to me, all the things that's there. There's a glass-blowing place there. There's a pottery place there where they build pottery. Just a lot of old-timey, old-fashioned things there. So it's a good day trip. A lot of people go spend a weekend or at least a night at the old inn there. The old inn is very famous.
It sounds like it's really a kind of a quiet place, especially if there's only like 2,000 people that actually live there now. It sounds like it's a really tranquil, quiet place.
And you can go down to the old creek, take your shoes off, and wade in it.
And you can still see the wagon wheel tracks.
You can still see the wagon wheel tracks in the limestone there in that creek.
That's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a wandering kind of a country old place, but full of charm. It's got so much things that a person can go and see. There's 17 places on the historical list.
That's amazing. I can't believe that there's so many.
And it's that old of a town. 1800s. Can you believe in the 1800s they had a college?
I know it.
I can't even fathom that.
Post office and a college right after it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just fascinating. And you've been there many times, you said, right?
I've been there many times. Walked and wandered around. It's just really a country place. And I don't know if that old road has changed, but they had this old road through all of it. Just a country road.
Is it, because I'm trying to like paint the picture in my head to what to expect, because you know this is going on our list, and you know we're going to take a day trip down there and see all this.
That's right.
But when you go, is it like a reenactment type of thing, or is it modern?
Oh, they also have that. They also have a play. Of course, in Texas, you're going to have a play about everything. As you know, they got to have the play, and they do. They have an amphitheater there. They do have a play. About the things that happened there years and years ago. So that's one thing always to know. Texas is going to have a play.
That fascinates me. Is it like a modern, I assume there's like no interstates or anything near it, and so it's like really, is it like Mayberry?
Yes, there is an interstate. It's off of 35.
But like when you get into the heart of it, I would imagine it sounds like.
Oh no! In the heart of there's no. In the heart of it.
No city buildings, no horns honking. There's no. Is there an old train? By any chance?
I don't remember the train, whether there is or not. But there is everything else, and the buildings are so old that you're going to go and look in. But it's a good day trip to spend the day. I've eaten at the inn many times. I've eaten at the other old restaurants, and the food is great and has unusual foods that you know you're not going to have anywhere else. And and the old inn is very pretty.
And you know the people are friendly. You know that.
Oh, yeah, very friendly, yes. And I know people from Dallas that have homes there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have a home there, and so when they get tired of Dallas, they just go down there and relax.
So it sounds like a place where people maybe have visited, liked it so much, they wanted to get a place there.
That's exactly what happened. They loved it. They loved the charm of the old place, and so they just bought them a house there.
This is amazing. Where,
and it's really a nice place to visit. If you want to see a lot of really old historical things, if you want to see them doing the glass, if you want to see the pottery that they're making, you know, all this is really, very interesting.
And all the old buildings that were there when they, you know, built
yes,
the town
they're
up.
Still they're standing.
Wow.
Yes, a lot of really, really old buildings.
Because you know how I am about architecture. I love old
right.
architecture, old buildings and things like that, especially historic ones, especially in Texas. It's like you don't find building. I mean, yeah, you have old buildings everywhere you go, and they're nice, but there's something that's different about old buildings, you know, especially from like the 1800s in Texas that you don't find other places.
I agree on that. And they do preserve everything here. You know, we're not for tearing things down. We're for, you know, preserving our history and preserving what we have.
Right. And a lot of people, a lot of places don't, you know. We've got some friends around the country in different places, and they're like, yeah, there's all these historical places, and they're tearing them down, and they're building condos. And it's like, what? Why would you do that? I don't understand. So I like the fact that those things are preserved. And I like the fact that, you know, when you find these gems like this, that, you know, entire towns are still in place. What did you say, 17, 19 places on the historical
list? Yes, 17
register?
Places are on the National Historic List.
That's just, it's amazing. It sounds like it's a whole historical, I don't want to say maybe a step back in time. That might not be the way to put it, but you get a really good appreciation for things of the past and what got us to this place today, I think.
I think so. And our past is all we really have. You know, how can you go forward if you don't know what happened in your past?
Exactly. Exactly. Man, I love when you bring historical stuff like this on Saturday mornings. This is fascinating to me. How far away is it? It's a day trip, right?
It's a day trip. It's an hour from Austin.
Oh, geez, that's not far at all.
Central Texas.
Yeah, yeah, that's doable.
It isn't far. It's a doable.
Interesting.
And most people go and spend the night, you know, at the inn, make a reservation there. You know, if you want to stay in an old inn, this is it.
I'm kind of wondering about July 4th weekend, which I think is next weekend, isn't it?
I think so.
I mean, it's coming up. I find myself saying that, hey, well, we'll go on July 4th thinking it's like 3 months away, and it's not.
No, it's not 3 months away. Well, it's coming right up.
2021 is flying by. I can't believe we've already had the longest day of the year this past week. Somebody said it on the news. They're like, oh, it's the longest day of the year. I'm like, what? Already? Days are starting to get shorter now. I can't believe. But yeah, it might sound like a good 3 day weekend. Maybe to just kind of spend a couple.
I think it'd be a fun time.
Wow. Interesting. Neat. Salado, Texas. All right. Definitely on the list of things.
Texas, folks, not far.
Nice. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We always like to highlight some of the benefits of the website as well. So especially for a lot of new investors, you find that a lot of people go and they do a lot of research. They find out, you know, because you've got money listed. You have people's profits and not like personal information, things like that. But people can see like actual figures of, you know, what people are making in life settlements. You can see, you know, testimonials. So people kind of talk about their experience and they can kind of get an understanding of it. Do new investors find that helpful? It seems like you get a lot of comments.
I think they do because they do go to the website. They do look everything up. They look to see what people are made, if it came in early, if it came in late, if it came in on time. They can look all that up. The other thing is if you've missed some of the shows, you can go back and do the shows. I just click on them, and all the shows are right there. I think that's pretty neat.
And people do listen to the archive shows.
I guarantee they do. And when they miss them, they're not happy. And if they're not all on there, they're not happy. I mean, I've got a college professor that's with us, been with me for years. And if he's in Colorado, if he misses a show, if he's on the coast, he camps out all the time in his camper. He goes back and gets all the shows and plays them. You know, he's up in the mountains. And he just gets on his computer, goes back and plays them.
Cool. You want to give him a shout out?
So that's neat. But I have several people that if they miss them, they want to find them in the archives.
Yeah. Well, it's a ton of information. And so do you find that new investors come in and they say, hey, I've been to the website. You know, there's all this stuff here. I think I'm ready to go. Does it help them give a kind of an understanding
they
before?
Say, I've been listening to you for 2 to 3 years.
Jeez.
That's what they say. They have been listening for 2 or 3 years. I'm ready to join up. I'm ready to make that decision.
You know, I know we at one point a while ago, we used to talk about how people have listened for a long time and then they made the decision to go ahead and move forward. Are you finding any kind of different? Because I always ask, is there, you know, have they realized that something, what is it that made them actually, after listening for so long, thinking about
they
it?
They were
for
not
so
ready
long?
Before and they're ready now. Their finances are ready. They have the cash ready now. And so now they want to do it.
So it's really just a matter of building up. Getting to a
That's
place.
Right. They weren't ready before. They weren't near ready for retirement, and they're close now, and they want to get it done.
Interesting. It's interesting the way you phrase that. As people get closer to retirement, then they start investing in things. Should people, how far in advance before retirement should people start investing?
Well, a lot of people, you know, may want to invest, you know, at 45, 50 years old. But then when they get to 59 or 60, they want to get their money moved. You know, they want to be sure that money has been moved and that they're ready. A lot of people are retiring at 60 right now.
Really?
So those people are going to bring their money over right now and retire.
So people are retiring earlier?
A lot earlier. And, of course, oil is up now. A lot of the companies are coming back. They're drilling now. A lot of things are happening. But a lot of people still are going to retire.
Interesting.
We've had quite a few people this year retire.
Did they retire? Was it a planned thing, or did they just say, you know?
I think they just said, I've had it. I've been doing this for 40 frigging years.
No more.
I'm tired of my employer. I'm tired of dealing with that fella. You know, a lot of people, you're not going to believe this, but a lot of people keep the same employer all their lives.
What?
So you've got to know. I've interviewed several people that were with the same company all these years. I think that's why they've got to retire. They're tired of the employer. They just said, I can't take it anymore. Oh, my gosh. And a lot of people change employers, but I've got quite a few people started with one company, and they're going to retire with that same company.
Really?
Yes, never did a thing. They've just been with them all these years.
Wow. I think we know, like, two people in our whole lives that have ever started and ended at the same place. I didn't realize there were so many other people that did. I thought they were like rare. I didn't realize.
Well, only out here in West Texas does it happen. Yeah. Most people in your cities have worked for, you know, five companies at least.
Oh, yeah, and in 5 years, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. They've worked for a lot of people. And it's a very fluid society, but not out here in the country.
Yeah, interesting.
A lot of people went to work for one company. They're big companies. And they've stayed with them all those years.
And so people are saying, you know, we're kind of reexamining things. Maybe we're going to retire a couple of years earlier than what we had originally planned. Do they start? Does it start as a fantasy and then they start running rough numbers in their head and they're like, hey, we might be a little bit closer than what we think. And then they call you and go from there? Is that how it works?
Yeah. And you know, as I said, they're 59 and 60 right now. and saying, you know, I've had it. I'm you're going to retire. So then they start looking for a place on a golf course or on a lake.
Mm.
Either one. They're not retiring in Midland, Texas. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Or
the ones I'm dealing with aren't. They're saying, Faye, I've got a ranch. I'm going to go to the ranch. It's in New Mexico. I've got one that has a ranch in New Mexico. I've got people have ranches, you know, all over. But they don't plan to stay in town. They want a lake and they want a golf course.
Yes. Water.
Granbury is one of their favorite places. I've got a lot of people have retired to Granbury.
Really?
I've got people that have retired to East Texas, the lakes over there. And then I've got South Texas. You know, Fredericksburg and all down there, people have retired.
So they set up roots in other places. Do they travel much anymore? I don't know if you even can travel these
Most
days.
Of mine, when they first retire, the first year, they do a lot of traveling.
Interesting.
Yes.
Of course, I suppose probably in the last year, I know travel has been restricted in a lot of areas. So maybe they're delaying their traveling until like now. I don't know.
I think so. They couldn't do much traveling before.
Interesting. Very neat. So with a life settlement, do people say, okay, Faye, I've got, you know, and I'm just running some rough numbers, so I'm just kind of making this up. We've got $750,000 in the bank. We want to retire in 2 years. Go.
That's basically the way it works.
Really?
Hey, I've got $500,000. I've got $700,000. Several say, hey, I've got $1 million. Take it and put me in a bunch of policies.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize. I was just kind of making that up.
No, it's absolutely the truth.
And so you can. That's actually doable. If somebody says, you know, I want to retire a couple of years early, I want to retire in 2 years. We've got, you know, this much in the bank, and you can actually get to a place where they're comfortable retiring in that short of amount of time. Obviously, you'd have to be diversified, right? But it's doable.
You've got to be diversified, no matter what you're doing. Can't put it all in one policy. You've got to have a lot of policies to make it work.
What should people reasonably expect as far as, because I know that one of the big draws with life, I don't know, I shouldn't assume this, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like one of the big draws for a life settlement is not only the nice returns, but the quick returns, because you're looking at policies that are, you know, 24, 30 months, you know, so people get their return in a shorter amount of time to go ahead and reinvest. How long should somebody plan on investing before they can actually get to a place to retire? 2 years, 10 years, 20 years? What are we looking at?
Well, I don't know. It depends how much they have, how many policies we have, you know, in order to make it work.
And it's not the kind of thing where people should, you know, expect, hey, I'm going to swing for the fence and hit a grand slam right off the bat, get in one policy and retire. They do need to be in a bunch.
You've got to be in a bunch. You've got to get that income coming in, get your interest flow going, and, you know, get enough interest that you can live on it.
So if somebody is, say, I'm kind of putting the first part of our conversation with now together to kind of paint like a big picture is where I'm going with this. So if somebody is, say, in their early 50s, they're not quite accredited, so they can't really do a life settlement at this point. It would make reasonable sense to maybe start off with some annuities, grow their wealth, convert over into some life settlements, and then by the time, you know, within, say, 10 years or 8 years maybe, they might be at a really, really good place to retire, not only for themselves, but maybe also get, you know, maybe their kids set up, maybe get their grandkids set up, really kind of get the whole spectrum in order in a very short amount of time. Is that reasonable?
That's
or?
Exactly right. If they're not accredited, they can do annuities. When they get money built up where they are accredited, then they can take some of that money out of their annuity and put it in life settlements.
And just to be clear, what does it actually mean to be accredited? We should probably do that.
Okay. You've got to either make $200,000 a year or you have to have $1 million without your house. You've got to have that many assets.
Okay.
And it's either or. You don't have to qualify on both of them, but you must qualify on one of them.
you do have sometimes people who will, you know, go in like husband and wife together. Does that change the dynamic at all, or?
No. Lots of times people say, okay, we want a joint account. Hmm. And they can do a joint account. You can do a single account. As I said, your IRA, there's just a lot of different ways you can do it.
It's important to go over the risks involved in a life settlement because as great of an investment as it is, as conservative as it is, there are things people need to know. So the greatest risk with a life settlement is?
Is it could go over. It may not come in on time. That thing could go 2 or 3 years over, so you have to know that. Be prepared for it. A percentage of them will go over. A percentage of them will come in early, and a percent of them will be on time. It's okay. Just the law of averages.
All right, and which is why people, you know, should plan on, you know, getting in several policies, diversified. If some does go over, there will be others that come in under. And it really, you don't want to look at just one and say, "Oh," you want to look at the whole spectrum, really.
That's right, in the wide view.
Okay, so what's the second biggest risk?
The second biggest risk is it's not liquid till it comes in. Okay.
And if somebody's accredited, it probably is not an issue.
No, it is not an issue. Our people are accredited. They have to be to do that. So they know going in it's not going to be liquid because they've just put their money in it. Then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And we haven't had one go under nationally for years. And if it did, someone would buy it out, I guarantee, before nighttime because they are so valuable. Their income is so great. That's what makes them good.
How are we right now on a policy availability? I know you at the beginning you said you got a couple out there right now, but I'm talking about long term. What's the forecast look like for the next several months?
I think we will have enough for the year. I think we'll get everybody fully invested many times over this year. We're just waiting on policy contracts to come back. We'll be filling some policies, hopefully, within the week.
Is this still a good time for new investors to come over and start getting things set up and ready to go?
Yes, I think so, because I think we will have a lot of policies this year. I think we'll be able to invest their money successfully. So I think it'd be a good time.
How long does it generally take? So say I called you first thing Monday, set up an appointment. We want to get started. How long would it take until somebody's in a policy, say?
It could take 3 to 4 weeks right now.
For everything?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow. Well, that seems like it's kind of a fast process. I would think people are pretty pleased with that.
A lot of people think that's slow. Sometimes people are calling me. My money is just sitting there. My money is just sitting there.
All right.
So, you know, they don't think it's very fast.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I was impressed.
Yeah, you're impressed.
Yeah. All right. So for appointments, are you doing in-person things now?
Not yet. No. I probably will be in 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. But people could still call on the phone, Zoom meetings.
Still call on the phone, talk to us, set up the appointment, set up your account. We can do it. At the Midland office, it's just not a problem.
Okay, good deal. So one last time, Faye, what is the phone number for people to call and get things rolling?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.